Welcome to Freedom Decoded.
We're Demir and Carrie Bentley. We're productivity coaches, lifestyle optimizers, and adventurers who love to experiment with new ways of living and working.
Professionally, we help other people get back in control of their life and get on their path to their ideal life.
You can learn more about what we do at lifehackmethod.com.
And this is the podcast where we let our hair down and give you the peek behind the curtain into our freedom lifestyle. Hey, before we get started today, I gotta mention the productivity system that Carrie and I have developed that's changing thousands of lives. Do you feel overwhelmed and unproductive? Do you wish that you had an uncomplicated system to just help you get more done in less time and a support system to hold you accountable to reaching those goals? Well, if so, you're gonna love Lifehack Tribe. It's the productivity membership program that shows you how to work free from overwhelm. With Lifehack Tribe, you're going to get access to hundreds of trainings, tools, resources, and community support to help you achieve that goal, to get your life back, to get in control. So sign up for your week-long trial at lifehackmethod.com/tribe and get started on a more productive life. Funny thing happened as a downstream impact of having our audit, our business audit. So for those of you who didn't check out this podcast, we did a business audit. We had an outside professional come in and just give us that like outside perspective on our business. Because sometimes you just get the horse blinders and you almost go like blind to what's right in front of you because you've just been looking at it for too long. When I was in finance in New York City, my job was just like the bitch boy, right? I was just right in the front lines, just putting together reports. And I would spend hours and hours and hours on these reports. And my boss would get it and immediately would look at the first page and find like two typos. And I'd be like, I just spent 20 hours on this report. I have looked at that first page like 100 times. How did I miss those typos? And the answer is you missed those typos because you were so close to it. So what was so great about getting that business audit was just to have somebody with a clean slate and a clean perspective come in and look at our business from the outside. And I would say one of the big things that we took away from that was understanding that there was a lot more room for us to do the basics better than we thought there was.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times you think, I've been doing this 10 years, baby. You know, we've squeezed out all the juice from this orange.
These new, exciting, different, tangential products and services.
Yeah, out there in outer space, not in this like solar system, right? And it's interesting because I feel like our guiding principle and like this latent motto that's come up from 2024 is like, pros do the basics better.
Amen. Yeah. And what do we mean by that? Because I think sometimes the basics can be misinterpreted, especially these days where all the experts and gurus are trying to make you think that their version of the basics is the way everybody should be doing it.
Totally. Drink electrolytes. That's the basics.
That's now basics. It's like, how is that basics? But whatever. I think it's really clear when you're thinking about an athlete, right? The basics are like dribbling, shooting, something called rebounding, which I'm not sure what that is, but we have it written down here. So I'm going to say it.
No way.
I'm not into sports. I'm not like a sports person, but I understand the analogy.
Whoa.
I had a different sort of.
She was a dancer, people. Forgive her. She was a dancer. Plus,
if we use the dancing metaphor, I would be better. The point being, everyone sort of gets what are the basics in sports, and they also understand that the pros, like at the end of the day, sure, they do some fancy stuff, but like you better believe there's nobody better at the basics than they are. They are just faster and like they can shoot, I don't know, higher or whatever the metric is for shooting. Like,
what are those three or four core things that constitute 90% of success?
It's 90% of success is like, for example, just showing up at the gym for their, you know, 5-hour workouts and practices every single freaking day without fail. That is where their success happens. It is not, you know, somehow in these extra special moves that they've concocted or plays that they've practiced. It's in the 90%.
Here's an analogy. I think it's perfect when you think about dieting. Right. The people who are really winning the fitness game are people who don't diet. They just have a menu. They have choices that they've made. Those choices are consistent over a long period of time. They don't have to be perfect because they're so consistent over time. They might not be perfect in the gym, but they're consistent in the gym and they like going to the gym. And they've just got those fundamentals of diet and exercise over a long period of time. And then you've got people like me in my former life who were always chasing the fad diet or the fad workout. Oh, it's about Pilates. The reason I haven't gotten fit is because I haven't done Pilates. Or it's about, you know, whatever, what's that, CrossFit.
CrossFit.
It's about CrossFit. It's about Pilates. No, it's about basketball now. No, it's about this.
Orange theory. It's like,
and then on the diet side, oh, it's about this diet. It's about that diet. And ultimately, the fundamentals are pretty simple when it comes to maintaining body fat and being fit. But we get so drawn into and drawn away from the fundamentals because there's actually an industry that stands to benefit from convincing you that something is a new fundamental.
Right.
And so when you think about a new book or a new guru, what they're really out there trying to do is be like, there's a new fundamental.
Yeah.
Something you didn't think was a fundamental is a fundamental. But the net experience of that for all of us is, well, now there's 1,000 fundamentals.
Yeah. And then we get overwhelmed and confused because we're always trying to change what we're doing rather than just improving upon what we're already doing. So that's what I love about this year for us. Is like we've both been re-energized and excited by this idea of like, no, all we have to do to get better is just get better at our fundamentals. And fundamentals for me right now means like honing our team, making sure every single team member is in exactly the right seat in the business, honing our systems, like making sure our systems are super dialed in all the way from, you know, organizing our projects in Asana down to like the minutia of the SOPs that the customer service team is sending out every day. It's like, that's the kind of fundamentals and basics. Like they're never going to be sexy, unfortunately, I don't think. But those, you know, you're not going to see a fundamental on my list that's like speaking on a stage or something like that. That's not the 90% for me. That's like a 10% thing.
And I think to a certain extent, I feel like I sort of got lured out of my fundamentals. And yeah, I understand the logic that I was following, but I think I followed a logic path where every single next step seemed like the right next step. But somehow, over the course of a lot of small steps, I found myself in a place where I wandered from some of the just fundamentals.
And what for you, like, what are the fundamentals?
The fundamentals for me are client success.
Yeah.
That's it. Right. I mean, you can make it so complicated, but if people come into Lifehack Method and they learn even one thing that makes their life permanently better, they're going to go and they're going to tell a friend, or they're going to go and they're going to buy our next product. Or we've even seen this where people leave the tribe, grow, experience new level, new devil, and they come back because they're like, oh, Damir, now I got promoted and I've got new problems and I want to work with you to deal with these new problems. At the end of the day, we are here to make productivity simpler. It is so complicated. And what we do is we make it simpler. I want my clients to come in and be like, why didn't somebody explain it to me like that before? Because it's so dang simple. And then go off and be successful in life. And their success is our best advertisement.
Right.
So what can get me off that path? Becoming a YouTube star. Right. And not for my own like ego, but I had this like, oh, we'll succeed on YouTube and that'll be a source of like organic, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're listening to all of these voices out there and you're hearing all of these gurus. And even I limit my diet of that stuff, but you can slowly but surely get off the path and forget or deprioritize your fundamentals. And so for me, I just came with this. I came away from that business audit with this really strong desire to be like, you know, the fundamentals of my business aren't that hard, right? Like I am really good at taking complex concepts and making them seem simple. And I'm nowhere close to the end of that. I'm 20% of where I think I could be in terms of taking complex productivity topics and making them simpler. So I've got a long road that I can travel and I want to dedicate myself to being the best in the world. I want... When people explain a concept, I want them to use our analogies, our frameworks, our systems, even our videos to forward to another person and say, I can't say it better than this. This person said it as simple as it can be said.
But I think you really hit it with the first thing you said, which is like, hey, you're successful as a coach if you're getting great client results. Because I can't tell you the number of coaches I've spoken to. The client results seem like the last thing on their mind. They're much more concerned with their social media presence or, I don't know, like their brand photo shoot that's coming up. And I'm sitting there waiting to hear about some like, you know, good client results that they've gotten, because at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. And that's all that people care about.
You know, brand is a thing, but there's the kind of brands that are built slowly because they're the real deal. So like Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out Hamburger, right? You've got these brands that, frankly, have been around for decades and decades and decades, and the brand is just built on consistent quality and delivery. You go to an In-N-Out Hamburger, you know you're going to get the same burger that you remember 10 years ago. It's going to be just as good. The service is going to be just as good. So you've got that like slow build as opposed to brands that are focused on like that fast, flashy growth. And I think for me, it's just, I think my realization is just like back to basics. Pros do the basics better.
So much more to go just with the basics.
Yep.
And I think the key is just learning how to stay excited about that.
Yeah.
Right. Especially after you've been doing it for a while, it can be really exciting to be like, well, let's do it like a new course about something totally different or whatever. And just being reminded by experts that's around you or just reminded internally that, wait a second, like, hey, the best thing for your client would be to do this thing better.
In fact, one of our consultants said, hey, Damir, you've probably explained the difference between deep work and shallow work, or the difference between, you've probably explained the massive action triangle, the massive action model, 100,000 times. So maybe to you, it's old news. Maybe to you, it's old hat. But like the people who are listening, they're hearing it again for the first time, and it's still just as profound for them. So in a weird way, it's not just falling back in love with the basics. It's falling back in love with a lot of the fundamentals of our methodology, which frankly I've been teaching for 10 years, but it's like falling in love with your spouse again, even though you've been with them for 20 years, and like going through that phase where you're like, I don't know what it is, but I'm looking at this person, I'm more in love with them than I've ever been. I'm having that moment with our framework, and thank God for it, because like you do have moments. It's a sine wave where you're like, it's never like you hate it, but like there's moments where you're more and less excited about it. And I'm just feeling really blessed to be back in a moment where I'm like, dude, I'm so stoked on winning the week. I'm so stoked on getting people planning their week. Like to me, if that's the only thing we teach people in our entire career, and that's the only little piece of code that I can enter into the matrix, I will die a happy man, because it really is that good and that simple.
Exactly. Yeah, I love it. It's like, and then even for anybody listening, I would challenge them to think about what are the fundamentals for your life and for your job. And then even that's why we love our productivity framework so much, is because we're all about just the fundamentals of productivity and doing them better than anybody else is doing them. We are never about like the flashy new productivity gimmick.
By the way, I want to take this opportunity to mention, you can take our on-demand masterclass today on the Winning the Week method by going to lifehackmethod.com/masterclass. You're going to learn our full process from our best-selling book, Winning the Week, on how to plan the perfect week for success. This incredibly popular method is now used by thousands of professionals worldwide, and you're going to be stunned how much relief you feel from overwhelm in just 1 week of using this. So sign up for free at lifehackmethod.com/masterclass. Don't miss out on this. So tell me, Carrie, for you, what are your fundamentals that you're refocusing on?
Yeah, so I think a big fundamental is just our team structure writ large, because as we grow, there's a lot of more higher level roles that we need to start hiring for. And it clued me in that I need to take a full look at every single team member and make sure that they were in the right seat. And so we did a lot of reshuffling, letting some team members go, hiring some new ones. And so that's a real fundamental that only I can do in the business, is making sure that everybody has a job that they're very well suited for, and they have the capability for, and they have the time for, and that they are the type of person that even belongs here at our company and follows our company's values. So that alone, like doing that reorganization process, has been so huge just for the overall team's productivity so far.
And what I really admire about that is, for the first time, we've actually let go really good people. And that's interesting, because like previous to now, if we got a good person, we just try to figure out a way to keep with them.
Right.
I mean, just like, let's find a job for this person. It's hard to find good people. Let's just find them a job. This is the first time that we actually had really talented people that we genuinely loved working with that we let go, not do it all to their performance, but just 100% due to starting with a blank slate and asking, what is, for X dollars in labor, what is Y result that we're getting? And can we get to Y?
Right.
Can we actually get a better result just by rationalizing our headcount? And we're actually willing to let go somebody who's really talented, but maybe not a fit anymore for where the company's at right now, so that we can get the best bang for the buck and the best impact with our staff.
And because I've now laddered each of those people up to a core KPI, I'm able to see much earlier whether they're on track for that or not. And so we're already starting to have some hard conversations with a couple of our agency partners, for example, that are not on track. And so I'm able to give them, hey, this is a 1 month warning or a 2 month warning.
Yeah.
Like, here's where we are. I need to see this, or else on this date, we're going to be switching agencies again, or whatever the case is. So that's really, really helpful, because then it's not like, I'm not like over in my office being like, oh no, I have to like fire another person, or I have to fire this, you know, it's going to be such a shock. It's like, nope, everybody knew the expectations. Everybody was clear on the KPIs. They weren't hitting them, and they were warned well in advance.
But when you stop having a lot of people who have a lot of different roles, and you have a smaller team with much more focused, much more intensive, much more clearly drawn and clearly defined roles with data accompanying them, what's the emotion and feeling around that? Meaning, what's the result of that on an emotional level? And what I've noticed in you is that people are catching mistakes and bringing those mistakes to you. They're saying, oh, I caught this before it went out.
Right.
Or, hey, this was about to happen, but let me run something by you first, because I don't think that's how you want it to be. Or, hey, I see value add that can be done here. So now for the same amount of spend, instead of just having two brains and a bunch of hands, now we actually have a lot more brains.
Yeah.
People who are really put in a role where they can succeed, and where it's clearly defined enough for them that they can succeed. And lo and behold, they're succeeding. And the emotional feeling here is, wow, we can relax. We can trust that these people are really getting the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that I'm really excited about as a manager, because it's not something I necessarily have a ton of experience in, is like hiring the best team possible, right? Like, I know really well how to delegate. I know really well how to manage existing team members, but like hiring and firing is not necessarily like a core expertise I have a ton of experience in. So that's like a fundamental skill though that I need to have. And so it's really exciting for me to take that on, and then to sort of start to learn, like, what does it look like and feel like when the right person is in the right role?
And we're starting to see the early signs of that, and it's so special. So tell me a little bit about what you've done with Asana. I know we've already done a podcast about your big refresh of your Asana course, but maybe tell me how that relates to the theme of today, which is doing the basics better.
Well, so another one of my fundamentals is like systems, right? And a big part of managing the team is having clear and transparent systems. So we have done a lot of renovations and upgrades, I would say, around like making sure that there's transparency all the way from our year-long goals as a company and our vision for the company, all the way down to what everybody's working on a day-to-day basis. And that's why Asana is such a huge part of it, is because it's a very convenient action platform that can provide that visibility and in real time. Like, whenever there's an update or a change made, I don't have to tell anybody about it. It's just apparent because it's, you can see it there in Asana. There's not like an email memo that's coming out from you and me being like, new change, this thing, you know, we're now shifting gears on this. It's like, nope, it's already organized in Asana. Everybody's 100% clear on what they're tackling. So I would say that's been a huge upgrade to our systems that we've made. That is, you know, part of the fundamentals of my job.
I think we've got an example at play here that's just a perfect encapsulation of doing the basics better. Because the truth is you get to a certain level of dribbling a basketball or playing a piano, and you plateau out and you sort of say, that's as good as I can do. That's as good as I can be. And then you see somebody else doing it better, or you figure out a new way to do it better, and you're like, oh, I realized there was a whole new level. Carrie, we were using Asana so effectively before. I could have honestly said, I don't think there is another level there to using it better, but you somehow found like a different gear with this new Asana refresh, where like we are using Asana, it's so much easier, it's so much lighter, yet it's punching so much harder. There's so much more radical clarity. The team is communicating so much better in it. It almost feels like you're in the fifth gear and you found a sixth gear. It's like, where did that gear come from? Like, we just popped into a whole different level. So kudos to you. I mean, you found a level that I didn't even think we could get to.
Yeah. And of course, like, I'm still even thinking about improvements to make on top of that. But yeah, I mean, and just like you were saying, the feeling that you get from that, of like, when I'm looking at my days and my weeks, and I know that the rest of the team is feeling clear and they're understanding what we're going after as a business, and they understand their KPIs, and I'm looking down their project list. I don't have to meet with them to understand where they're at with everything. I can just see it right away. So it's just a great feeling, especially as I'm right now preparing to go out on maternity leave again. That's also a really great motivator to get a lot of these systems upgrades in place. It's just knowing that, like, I'm not going to be able to babysit.
Yeah, totally. So from my perspective, from the outside, the three times that you've prepped to go out on maternity leave, once for Gigi, once for Sabine, and now once for, are we saying the name? No. Unnamed child. To be continued. Cliffhanger. Open loop. Using my NLP skills. This third time, when we look back, those three times were the most fertile times of systems creation and innovation and leveling up the business, which is so funny because I get no end to being delighted by how that turns common logic on its head.
Yeah.
Because common logic is, don't hire women who are going to have kids because they won't be focused on the business and they won't create value for the business. Common logic is, oh God, is she going to have kids? She's going to be out on maternity leave and the whole team's going to go to pot. Whereas like for you, I've looked back on the three times that you've gone out on maternity leave and it has literally been like, we need to have five more kids. I feel like if we have five more kids, like every time the business is just going to level up. I mean, I really genuinely want to create a chart of our income because I genuinely think that if we charted our income against your maternity leave, there'd be like a 3-month lag and we'd see this like huge spurt in growth in income. But anyways, kudos to you for doing
that. I'll create something. I'm curious now. I'll have to.
You love charts.
I do. Well, that's another thing that's been fundamental to my role is using data to help me make better decisions. And so I've had a lot of fun creating the great data dashboards with the help of our resident data expert so that I can visually see the core things that we need to track as a business and therefore make better decisions faster.
And again, I want to tune into the mission of Lifehack and the emotional feeling. The mission of Lifehack is to live like a billionaire, right? Live happier than a billionaire, doing less. And we're here to show people like you can use these productivity tools to get way more done, propel yourself forward in the world in a bigger way, whether that's making more money or having a bigger impact or even just getting more of your time back, but doing it in a way where you're actually living a life that people look over your shoulder and go, oh my God, I want to have your life.
Exactly.
And this isn't a flex. I mean, it's just truth telling. I still haven't met anybody out there in the world where I've looked at them and been like, oh man, I'd love to have their life. Or they've got something better than you and I have. I'm constantly meeting people. I'm like, yeah, they might have some more money, but they don't have a better lifestyle.
Right.
I mean, you are sitting here, especially as we get into maternity leave, working less than 20 hours a week. Now it's going to crank way down. The business is doing better than ever. The systems are better than ever. The team is punching harder than ever. And it comes back to the theme of today, doesn't it? Pros do the basics better. We didn't find it under some rock or in some like obscure book. It was just about getting really clear on what are the fundamentals and how can we do that better?
Right, exactly. And just holding that and getting excited about like even small 1%, 2% improvements to those fundamentals.
Nicely said. We'll close it there.